the best you can do for the world, for your colleagues, for your businesses, is to be healthy, to be having your own fun, to give yourself space and time to think. But in order to do that, you can't work 15-hour days. You have to choose to work an 8-hour day and know what's right for you. Because if you don't have the energy to give to others, then you'll just be taking, again, from the world. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 54 of Business Therapy. This is the show where Jonathan and I bring live professionals on to talk about their live business challenges. This week on the show, we have Shay Emery. Welcome to the show, Shay.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting times.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Shay's coming on the show to talk about his multiple business ventures and some of the challenges he's having. So I'm going to kick it over to you. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself, some of the business stuff you've got going on, and the challenge you want to talk about today?
Yeah, I am. I'm hailing from Whistler, British Columbia, here up in Canada. And I have spent the last 8 years as an entrepreneur after retiring from professional football up here in the Canadian Football League. It was mentioned that I got a few accolades, and the thing that I was most proud about was winning the nastiest player in the league twice, playing middle linebacker. It's a coveted trophy. And I was, got to the point where, hitting people with my head for a living wasn't going to last a long time. So I had to figure out what I was going to do outside of sport. I started getting into men's health and well-being, started doing public speaking. I did my first TEDx talk in 2015 down at Loyola Marymount in LA. Have been kind of, trying to be in the business realm ever since. And really it was always about getting people to get active in a sense to take care of their own health and well-being, whether it be, take action about what your recreation looks like, take action about what your health and well-being practices are from your daily routines, just kind of have that initial catalytic conversation with whoever it was to empower them to take that next step, whether it's, to join the tennis club that I own and operate or to, book a retreat with one of our service providers. So long story short, I am in recreation. I have multiple businesses. One's a mobile events company. I was also doing the public speaking circuit, doing probably two a month pre-COVID, and then also have this sports and recreation center up here in Whistler, which is basically a tennis facility that we've turned into a multi-purpose sports and rec social club. The closest thing I would like to associate it with would be like a Soho House or kind of like a members-based, you can bring your guests and guests are able to come. But we have tennis, pickleball, roller skating, axe throwing, snowball fights. We have a whole lawn games arena. I'm in the process of buying a life-size catapult. So we're in the business of, getting people outside their comfort zone, having fun, but also creating a little bit of a risk factor there to, get them to dive into those experiences. I feel like I have to do a lot of it, and that's really where this major issue comes in for me is how to hunker down within my own foundation, my own things, and then so that I can support the people that I work with, my partners and my staff, as well as the clients.
But let's hone in on what the actual problem is. How is it a problem? People saying they're not getting enough of your time? Are you not getting to things you want to get to? Why is this any of this a problem? It all sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
But so what's wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, well, you're doing what you want to do. You're introducing people to things. You're being creative.
So that's a great question. Thanks, Jonathan. The way that it arrives for me, arises for me, is that, in past, and it has been, a specific partner, has been like, well, you said that you were going to, you know, focus on this arm of the business and you're doing something completely different. Right. And then, you know, it's a time thing. We're like, oh, we, you know, we need more, you know, my kids, my, you know, that my family is like, hey, like, you know, and we readjusted that, you know, my partner, she's staying at home at this point in time, full time with the kids. And I'm, you know, I'm going after whatever I'm going after. And I'm just like 7 days a week, nonstop to make it happen. Which isn't healthy. Right. And
well, do you feel it's not, is it affecting your health or do you think it's not, you think you imagine that this can't be healthy?
You know, I definitely cut from like a blue collar cloth. You know, I love working, you know, coming from that background, like, you know, I'm fine with the grind. I think it's just that now it's like, you know, really trying to find, because it's events based and it's sporadic. And you know, there is a facility that is being managed in the middle of it all. So it's not just like, I'm not just, you know, a remote worker and having, you know, to hit deadlines and, you know, go to events and execute events with my, it's like, we're also running a facility from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day. And I'm a big mm-hmm. part of that. Right. And I want to be a big part of that because I love seeing the smiling faces, right? I love seeing the people enjoying it. But I think it's, you know, where I see it becoming an issue is that, you know, when there is variables, and there is obviously inevitably variables every single day, you know, if I'm constantly, you know, working 12 to 15 hour days, you know, that's where it becomes, you know, if I'm not managing my time and I'm not managing my schedule and my to-do lists and my tasks, then that's where it can like really quickly spiral out of control. And it has in multiple times, you know, throughout the last year of kind of being open again, right? Because we're in events, we're in group gatherings. No, this is not Florida, Jonathan. Right? So this is. It was the
Florida never closed.
Yeah, I know. Man, I just need to go like open up a snowball fight arena in Florida. Let's do it, baby. But you know, I love the question because for me, it really brings up the inability for me to hone in on that routine daily because I'm like always moving. It's always something. Okay, we got an event at 8 a.m. We have an event at 9 p.m. goes till 2. It's just like, so it's always constantly shifting and my routine is always needing to be readjusted. And then it just falls apart in, you know.
Is it a problem not having a routine? Like, what I'm trying to get at is like, it, like what's breaking or what do you wish was different? Not what do you think or what traditionally do people expect should be different, but for you personally, what would you like to have different that you're not able to make happen?
Well, I'd love to make a lot more money, Jonathan. That'd be great.
Okay. Okay. Fair. Well, that's good. I mean, that's like, I'm trying to get to something that's like measurable and actionable that, you know, we can glom onto because the idea of having a schedule or routine, it's a means to an end. It's not an end.
Yeah.
You know, so as an example, or the idea of fulfilling commitments, it depends. Is it commitments you want to fill? Mm-hmm. You know, are you being realistic with what you want to do? Or are other people telling you what your commitment should be? So like, yeah. What I'm trying to get at is like, what's the end that you want, not what seems to be what people do?
Yeah. I mean, for me, my thought on that is really, I've really gotten a lot better over the last year at managing my boundaries. And what I mean by that is, you know, the question or the point around other people's expectations of me or, you know, what they think I should be doing. And, you know, I think really at this point, it's about, you know, okay, I've been in this current status for about 3 years since taking over this business. You know, I'm kind of a utility tool for the brick and mortar experience. You know, I know how to fix all the things, do all the things, facilitate the events, host the parties, you know, do the liquor license, like all the, you know, all of the, I can tinker with pretty much everything in the business model. And so that makes me feel like I need to do those things regularly. And if I'm not there, then I feel bad about it. And, you know, I think
can we pause there for just one second? Feeling bad about it, like, because you feel like you should do it, is different than whether or not that's going to help you meet any goal or be good for anyone else. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to reflect on how you're expressing it. Because if, let's say, the goal is to make as much money as possible, then you look at the numbers, you know, and you see where would my time make the most money, you know, or even where can I make other people do things, you know, to make the most money. But the way you're expressing it, again, it seems to be outside of you. That's, you know, that there's some force having you go in a certain direction, but you're not expressing like what it is that you want to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a pleaser, right? I've always been that way. Like I'm very much an empath, and you know, staffing is a huge issue. So, you know, we're dealing with, you know, young minded individuals, I'll just say that, who are a bit sensitive, and I'm quite frank sometimes, not angry or mean, but like, I just want it done. So like I'm, you know, constantly trying to, you know, white glove a lot of the people and emotions, when really, like, I know that I want to spend my time selling and creating and executing, but I'm having to shovel snow because we lost our maintenance guy or X, Y, and Z. And you know, I don't mind doing it, like, temporarily, but like, it's not a good use of my time, right? It definitely does not generate any revenue positively. And I'm also at the point where I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to be the owner that is too good to fucking shovel snow. Can I swear on this? I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks.
I don't know. Kids show.
Mike, is this a...
you know, like, I'm cognizant of that. I want to play my role, right? I don't want to be like, well, I'm not shoveling snow, I'm not doing that, like, you know, I'm too busy for that, or what, like, that ain't me, that's not my personality. And you know, I think it's, again, you know, what's coming up for me is like just really being super crystal clear on the expectations of the people around me, so that I can just go and not feel, like you were saying, you know, emote so much about whatever's happening on a daily basis. Trust that it's being done by the person in that role or what have you. And I think there's, like, you know, being someone that has had major trust issues in relationship, in partnerships, in business, what have you, you know, especially now with the staffing issues and people just being like, peace out. Like, I'm like, wait, like, what? Like, we just gave you the general manager position, and now you're quitting on the first day of the summer. Like, after we just spent $5,000 on a new smoker and this, that, like, and a whole menu based around you. And so I look at all these different issues and I'm like, I can't have those on my heart on a daily basis. I got to move through it. I don't want to sound like an asshole or anything, but like, at this point, I've been doing this for, you know, roughly 10 years. My mindset is that when someone quits or moves on to greener pastures, which I love for them to do in an organized fashion, I want to empower them to grow and move into their, you know, from the 20 to 25 year old range. I'd love to, you know, mold and help them grow, and then, you know, send them off to their actual life, right? Like, we're throwing snowballs and axes over here, right? Like, what are you doing, right? Do you want to coach axe throwing your whole life? Maybe, maybe not, but
But they're not all worth they're probably not all worth your time. Like, in other words, you don't need to mentor everyone or send everyone happily on their way.
No, no.
So I'm going to cut to the chase, and then I'm going to let Sam, I'm dominating here a little bit, but, and I would really give this recommendation. I would suggest living louder, living out loud far more.
Sure.
And amp up what you think is being an asshole. I would likely amp that up on some level, because that's more you, not you're a jerk or whatever, but when you think you're being like, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't do X, that's trying to be something. But in the moment, it's either appropriate or it's not. Mm-hmm. Like, that's being an imposter of you. You is what you think you should be doing right in that moment. And that's a far better lesson to teach people. Because in right in a particular moment, you're building experiences. You're building all these other things. There might come a time when you need to do some other job at the same time. But right now, there's a lot of other things to be doing, and other people need to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. So I would not get too caught up on what you think you should be, and get focused a lot more on what you want to be right now in any given moment.
Wow. You know, yeah. Like, I've done a lot of, retreats and, personal development stuff and therapy and, personal therapy and therapy with the mother and my kids. And, the theme that consistently would come up, Jonathan and Sam, is that I was afraid of failure, one, and two, most poignantly is, I was afraid of success. And, what comes with that, being big and loud, like I'm 245, 250 right now. And I was having this conversation with a friend of mine who is a 3-time Olympian javelin thrower for Canada. She's like stunningly beautiful and 6'3", just stacked. Right. And we were talking on Halloween about how we can like literally walk into an environment and like mold the energy in the room, like in an instant, positively, negatively, up, down, like manipulate the whole situation in a way where like, we're just trying to fit in, right? We're not like, I don't want to walk into the club or walk into an event and bring it down. Like, I'm trying to bring it up here. Right. And I've always been hesitant to be loud in, not on the football field or in the arena. And, that's really prevented me from being loud from a sales standpoint, or from just how awesome what I do is, right? I've been, hesitant to sell marketing, like digital, albeit on the street sort of vibes. That has really, I've dampened down my voice in so many different like areas of my life to the point where I'm like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Right. Whether it's in that space at the racket club where I'm just like trying to keep the 70-year-old members not getting upset at me being a big animal, And I'm also, we have kids there. We have 3-year-olds to 86-year-olds in the building pretty much every day, half the day. And I'm like, I love what you provided with for me there, because it's just the same theme, right? And I haven't been listening, right? I've been, trying to, patch the, patch up the holes in the boat so much that I'm not really focusing on, if we row fast enough, we're going to get there, right? Like, we got to get going and just like lead the ship and go and move the ship, regardless of, whether or not it's, it's sinking, right? I don't know. It's awesome. Thank you so much.
But you got to like you when you get there too. You can't just like where you get to. You got to like you. So, yeah. Sorry, Sam.
Oh, not at all. I was just going to say that this is the major theme, and the theme, and I'll add another word in here to kind of integrate with what we're talking about, which is just being a more honest. Honesty is efficiency, especially in this topic we're talking about. So a lot of you talked about, there's some of this that you wish you had more time. You're trying to set boundaries. You're doing all these things. But a lot of times, if every time you had an instinct to say something or behave a certain way, and then instead of doing it, you had to think about whether it was appropriate or think about whether it's going to play well, or you have to put a message on top of it, that's you basically having to do every action twice.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's a lot about practicing honesty. When you're being honest and you're being yourself, and this is when Jonathan says, be louder, kind of channel your own personal energy into things. That's also a means to become an efficient leader, because then you're not trying to clean up your own messaging before you say it every time. It's a lot of extra work. A lot of times your process, especially as a leader, will work around you if you're honest and you're consistent. If your staff get used to you being more brusque, if your customers used to you being more loud, more animated, some of them may not like it. And that's okay, because the people that stay are going to support a process that you can sustain. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important thing to internalize, because the customer can always be right, but it doesn't matter how many customers you have if you can't sustain your business, because it's draining you energetically and it's really bringing you down. It's making it hard for you to do your thing, because in terms of what you're doing now, working these long hours, you have all these great ideas, you've got all the successful business stuff going on. Sustainability should be your number one priority, because you can't do any of those things if you burn out and you burn to the ground. And a lot of what we're talking about right now is, how do you be more honest in your communication, in your choices, in your day-to-day, because that honesty is going to free up a lot more time and space for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think, so speaking of therapy, right? This is business therapy, right? This is therapy for me, bro. So right in the pandemic, so January 2020, right, 2 months before, my partner and I separated. So we've been together for about 10 years at that point in time. And so I took on this massive business, and, you know, it was not an easy time for me. I took on this business. I had no business taking on with partners that I'd never worked with before. And it was a huge risk, like brick and mortar, you know, biggest tourism venue in British Columbia, like a big, like putting the stake in the ground, we're here. And then COVID happened. So all three of my businesses were all based around communal gathering, breaking bread, recreation groups, right? Zero overnight. Like, there was no digital axe throwing stuff, right? I wasn't about to do public speaking online. I probably could have if I, again, focused only on that. But I also had a venue which had no people coming to it, but needed to stay open. And so I was in a very dark place, and I've been dealing with like major trust issues within myself, within my partners, within my, you know, the mother of my kids, like basically everyone. I was crafting something to mistrust them, right? And, you know, my thought process was always to get to the start line, right? To get everything ready, to get to be when we open back up. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be in good shape, and I'm going to be ready for the Olympics, right? Like, you got to perform on that day. And, you know, it's just funny because that line was so murky, right? It was always like, well, it was like, we're half open, we're kind of open, we're closed, we're half open, you know? And then same thing with my relationship with the mother of my kids. It was a major stress that I created, right? Because I wasn't really being honest with where I was at, right? And I wasn't really being vocal about how I was feeling in those situations and honoring where I should be spending my time, right? It was, well, you know, from an ego standpoint, I'm like, why does this business matter, right? Or why does this business matter? And why does this thing that I do with my time, what does it serve? And I was just in survival mode, to the point where I've gotten, like I said, like I didn't even know where I was or who I was, because I just look back and I'm like, I went to one of the football games. There was a playoff game for the league this past weekend with my son. There was like, you know, 40,000 people there. I'm in the stands. I'm cheering, wearing the team I used to hate colors, right, with my son. And I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be, yelling. Making noise, right? Having fun with my son. And, you know, what came of it was, you know, more conversations in a direction that I want to go with a certain individual that was at the game, what have you. But, you know, to bring it all back is like, I've had difficulty trusting myself and being honest with myself because of my fear of the success that, or what's required when you're successful, right? Which is to show up and be consistent each and every day without falter because of the pressure and the responsibility that comes with that. And, you know, when you make a lot of noise and quite quickly, I can get a lot of attention, right? And that's what I was kind of afraid of, was that when I get the attention, they're going to figure out that, you know, whether, you know, maybe I have like a, like I feel like a little bit of a fraud, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, you know, when I'm talking about health and well-being and I feel like shit, right? I'm talking about routine and business stuff and I'm like, well, I'm a mess, right? Right. But I'm like, okay, keep hammering, you know, and then at some point in time, I'm going to get on a podcast with some business therapists and it'll all work out, right? Like really where I'm like, okay, it's got to get to the point where I got to get it to the start line. Now what? Right.
Yeah. You know, you can make any narrative, like when you opened up in the show and you're talking about all the things you're working on, all the things you're doing, so much energy is coming through and it's exciting and there's a vibrancy there. And then you could describe that same period of in your life a completely different way. I'm a mess. I'm this, I'm that. All of this is just competing voices in your head. Or, well, actually, I would suggest that the energy that you describe things with, that's real. You know, that's, you feel it.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing that comes to my mind is with all the thinking, you know, analyzing, is this going to lead to success? Is it going to lead to failure? Do I want success? Do I want failure? Has the analysis or the thinking improved your results for you?
Not at all.
So to Sam's point, we know that the analysis is causing energy. It takes energy. And imagine back in, you know, the CFL days, like if you spent your time thinking about, well, how might they line up in this, you know, like what might they do here? Like there's no time for that. You have to do. You do and you trust yourself. And when you trust yourself, you're able to do. So I would say, again, I'm being a little direct. I would suggest less worry about what this might lead to or what it might not lead to or what this might do to other people, et cetera. And more just, I feel like doing this and then doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, and it's not like the results it's not like the results by pausing is going well. So why not try something that's more sustainable anyway and far more likely to attract good things anyway? Sorry, Sam.
I just wanted to chime in there because it kind of plays back to what we're saying. It doesn't matter what other people think or like, or, you know, in terms of trusting yourself, you can kind of adopt the logic of, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It just matters that you enjoy what you're doing, because even if you get the answer, the right answer, and you don't enjoy it, it doesn't matter because you're not going to be able to keep doing it. It's just going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
So whether you think about it like, well, how do I learn to trust myself or not? Practicing just kind of feeling what you're feeling right now, which is, am I enjoying this or am I not? And if you're not, get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if that works for them. It doesn't matter if it's a mistake conventionally or for somebody's perspective. That's where Jonathan's saying all that thinking is just going to take up your time and it's not productive because it doesn't matter. Whatever business person you're going to become, you're going to be able to be there in a healthy place if it's something that you want to be doing. If you become a successful, rich business person, and 8 hours out of, you know, 12 hours of every day is filled with stuff that you dread or you don't really do like doing or is taking your energy, it doesn't matter how much success or money you have because it's just going to kill you.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think, you know, really, you know, we talked about all the different like fun things, right? All the different activities. And, you know, when I was retiring from football and I didn't, you know, I was asked the question, well, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do? Like, what do you spend? What's your purpose? What's your passions? Like, what do you like? Right. And I didn't have an answer. I knew that I wanted to, be outside and, be on the water. And I said, I like boats. but I haven't gotten into the boat realm yet. That's kind of later down. But what I did was I started this this men's health organization called Wellmen, and we started doing things that I like to do. And we started talking about honesty and like trying to empower men, myself, to find their, you know, what really gets them going and gets them out of bed in a day. And, you know, what I've done so much of is trying to provide these spaces for everyone else, you know, concurrently providing and gaining access for myself, but I'm just the fucking working dog, right? And I'm just working. And so recently I've been like, I got to get more on court. I got to snowboard more. I got to spend time, you know, go to the lake, do the things that I love to do, opposed to just providing access to these things for everyone else, which is my business. Right. And so like the awareness that comes with that is really now it's about stripping everything back. And, you know, this has been super helpful about, you know, being honest with myself around, you know, the burnout that is imminent if it continues, right? And I saw, you know, Devin, my partner, the mother of my kids, she just burnt out, right? She was doing tech company, same amount of time, 4 or 5 years in, you know, grinding it, you know, investment, lots of, you know, lots of investor conversation, doing raise, like going, you know, doing all those sorts of things and launching in the US and, you know, gaining all these different users and followers and blah, 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 blah. And she just got to the point where she was just burnt out. And I'm like, I feel like I have like 10 more gears than she does, but I'm like, I've been in those gears. You know, like, yeah, those have been cranking and I'm ready to go. Right. Like I got a lot of endurance, but I, you know, smart, not hard sort of vibes. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I'll give something as a fellow empath, and I'll tell you something from my journey that was really important and it might resonate with you. There's this feeling when people lean on you and you describe this burnout, a lot of it is because you're giving and you're passionate. And it feels like to say no would be selfish. But in fact, to not say no, to not protect your own energy and to not protect your own health, that's the selfish thing. Because if you're not healthy and you're burning out, you will not be able to give or take care of the people around you.
Yeah.
And that's the true selfishness. Yeah. But it's very easy to get in this mindset of, oh, somebody needs me right now. And to say no is that feels selfish, but it's not. In the grand scheme of things, it's counterintuitive. And I just wanted to give you that piece from my own journey, because I think it's really important to know the best you can do for the world, for your colleagues, for your businesses, is to be healthy, to be having your own fun, to give yourself space and time to think. But in order to do that, you can't work 15-hour days. You have to choose to work an 8-hour day and know what's right for you. Because if you don't have the energy to give to others, then you'll just be taking again from the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, that theme has obviously come up in conversations around like, you know, take care of your, you know, give yourself the mask on the airplane when it's going down, before anyone else. And, I've used that theme in conversation with Devin and, you know, just like, a few white lies here and there around, you know, like, oh, I'm working when really I'm like, I literally just need to go home and not be around people. And like, you know, going over to, yeah. And just like really, you know, taking care of my sleep and, you know, getting some good rest and just getting off my feet. And, you know, I've been on my feet for 12 hours today, just walking around the club, picking things up, moving things, getting everything ready for wintertime, getting the snowball battlefield ready, you know, like, when I strip it all back, it's like, if I'm not in the gym, you know, anchoring my day, then I'm, you know, I'm lost. Right. And I go sporadically. I'm like, okay, I haven't been in a routine. And it's because I'm like, well, I did like 4 events last week and I was on the road for 6 days. And then I'm like, then I came back and the kids were sick. And, you know, it's just like all the things. Right. But like, well, tough luck, bro. You got to figure it out anyways. You know, like that's my life. Right. So there's part of it where it's like, you know, you got to grind. Yes. but then there's got to be the, you know, that like fine line where it's like, you know, you can grind, but like I would say 25% of the time, maybe you should not. Right.
Exactly. It's about discernment.
Sometimes when we're trying to think of these big things, like what do I want, or, you know, how do I change my life or my schedule? You know, it doesn't always lend itself to meaningful action. So one of the things you might consider is being a little bit more thoughtful. And what do I want right now, right in this moment? So let's say you're at the club and one of the people that works there is complaining about something, whatever, and you're being very nice and sympathetic or whatever. But in your head, you're thinking, this person just needs a kick in the pants. That's what they really need. That's the moment to start practicing this change. That's the moment to say to the person, you know what? You need a kick in the pants. Like, it's ridiculous that you're complaining. If I was in your shoes and I was complaining, I'd shoot myself. Like, so, you know, and say whatever it is that you want to say. I'm just giving that as an example. Yeah. You do that one time a day, two times a day. You do that a few times a week. That's how actual meaningful change can start occurring. But if you can't break it in that moment, it's impossible to break it like in like big picture. So maybe just start with these incremental things, because at the end of the day, that's what makes up the life anyway. So
Yeah, those decisions.
Yeah, just saying no a lot more in those moments where you want to say no, just say no. You know, a lot of times creating space is something that we talk about on the show a lot, and just has been a really big thing in my own journey, which is you feel this need to be busy all the time, but being busy all the time, like you're discussing, it's the same sort of emotional numbing that you would if you were at the bar all the time, or if you just turn on the TV. It's just keeping you occupied so that the things that you need to address in your life and make you anxious about the business or business planning or strategy, you don't have time for it. And that's that thing you brought up when you're afraid of success. Making yourself busy is a way to play out that fear, because you don't have time to do the things that you're afraid of doing.
Yeah.
So like the toughest thing you can do is say no to people. And instead of then engaging with them and taking that hour to help them, you freed up an hour and use that as currency. Because the more you can say no, assert your boundaries, be honest, and create more space for yourself, that space may feel uncomfortable for somebody who's busy all the time. It would be the same way that an alcoholic who's trying not to drink is going to be uncomfortable as they wean themselves off. But like, it is in that space where you can contemplate your own feelings, you can be more creative for yourself and the business, and then innovation can take the place of busyness and monotony.
Yeah. And when you put it like that, whew, you know, that's really where it's like the creative drain has just been so real for me. Cause I'm like, I look at the thing that I need to, you know, craft, you know, the snowball arena, which is the outdoor tennis court in the wintertime. And I just look at it and I'm like, bandwidth maxed. Like, and I just go do some other busy work. Right. And so today is that day. Like, I finally like moved all of the little pieces to the puzzle to now like, okay, now we can craft. And, you know, so like there's, I think, John, what you said was kind of along the lines of when I'm able to free up that space, I'm able to really lean into those moments and, you know, do what I'm supposed to be doing, and not feel apologetic about it. It's like, this is what I'm, you know, this is the best use of my time and where I get my most juice. And I think what I've not done well enough is communicate to everyone else that is what I'm doing, right? Opposed to just doing it and being like, well, you better fucking figure it out, bro. Like, you know, you guys got to be okay with me. Like, you know, be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boundary.
Well, and also a lot of people who are practicing this too, you can also, let's say you're able to block 4 hours in your office to do creative work or work on the snowball arena design, and you sit there and you do nothing. You just stare at the screen, you're blocked, you want to play flash games, you want to mess on your phone, on social media, and you feel like this is a total waste of time and I wasted my whole day. That's the work. Like, I want you to feel okay doing nothing when you create the space to do those things, because it's not always going to come. Mm-hmm. That's why you're the leader. And a lot of people find that's the most painful thing when they feel like they could be busy all day and they block half their day, or they actually make the time and they can't get the thing out that they just thought would appear suddenly. Mm-hmm. But no one writes a book by saying, I'm going to write a book, or no one writes the next big, you know, thing by saying, it's just going to happen right now when I demand it. Yeah. Sometimes you have to allow the space for your body to ease into that space and use it. And don't be afraid if you make the space the first time and you're like, great, everything's cleared off my plate, I'm going to knock this out today, and it doesn't come. That's the work. The work is to put yourself in that position over and over so you have the space to breathe and process and for it to come. But if you think it's got to come the first time or otherwise it was a total waste, you're just putting that more on yourself. So like, it's okay that every day you take half your day and tell people, this is my time, don't come in here. And if you spend half of it messing around or just screwing around on your phone or whatever, that's part of the job. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Market research on Instagram there, you know, just trying to figure out what's cool. All the old TikTok there.
Yeah. Creativity comes in a lot of different ways, but it doesn't come on command.
Yeah.
For most people. But it will never come if you don't create the time and the space for it to come. So I know as you begin practicing some of these things, I just wanted to give you that also, because I know a lot of people put a lot of pressure on themselves and they're horrified that somebody would come to their office when they're supposed to be creating the next big thing and just see them dicking around basically. And they find that like very uncomfortable, but that's the job. That's the job of a leader. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's going to be part of your creative process.
Wow. That's super helpful. Thank you. Cause like a lot of the times I feel horrible when I'm like, you know, I'm going through my to-do list and I get to that creative part of it and I just stop because I'm just like, oh, this is not the time right now. And then I got more into the whole, time blocking and making sure, you know, I'm going to like, this is what I'm going to do during this time. If I need to do something creative, I will get out of the office and go work somewhere else, headphones in, dubstep, like whatever music I need to listen to get after it. And trying to craft those moments a little bit more, tactfully, opposed to just being like, well, I mean, I got the creative thing on the list right now. Oh, shit, I can't get it done because I'm not in that mindset. And that's great perspective. So thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a good time. We've given you a lot. How are you feeling right now? You feeling a little bit better?
I'm feeling good. You know, I think I've really... You know, I'm first of all, thank you so much for having me on. I feel like I don't know how I just, you know, because I'm friends with Max, I got a free coaching session from you too. It's amazing. And my solutions that I'm looking for are a little bit clearer for me right now. You know, I've been thinking of them in the jumbled brain that I have because I have too many things going on. But, you know, you've definitely made it clear around, you know, honoring my boundaries and saying no and being content with, finding space for that creativity to reign. But Jonathan, the theme that comes up over and over and over again, and to the point where I'm actually have talked about writing a kid's book about it is making noise. Right. And, you know, that noise can be loud, it can be gentle, but it just needs to be tactfully delivered. And, I think that's what comes with, really just standing up and understanding what those boundaries are in the first place and saying, hey, like, I'm over here today, but not feeling bad about whether or not I'm going to... We've had so many fucking noise complaints because of our neighbors, because of football. I'm sure you've heard about pickleball making noise complaints. We got pickleball. We got DJs. We have kids camps. We have a snowball arena with slingshots. Did Max tell you that I bought a catapult?
What are you saying at the beginning of the show, the episode?
It's legit. Like, it's on a trailer. It's got a license plate. And, I think that's what this is about, is really just like, sometimes you just got to show up with a catapult and let it fucking rip. And sometimes you got to show up with a kid snowball maker and get on your knees and make the snowballs with the kids. It's a different experience. What's being called for in each moment. And I think that's really what's coming up for me. So thank you so much for the perspective here.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thanks for coming on the show and sharing your story and your experience. So honestly, it's great having you and learning about kind of what you're doing. and keep it up. I mean, like Jonathan said at the beginning of the episode, you've got so much passion and it really comes through, and honor that because it's doing great things.
Much appreciated. Thank you so much for that, Sam. And again, congratulations on what you guys are doing here. You know, every entrepreneur always feels alone, and this is great. It makes me feel a part of the community. So thank you so much. And yeah, I look forward to seeing this on the old matrix there.
Great. Well, you're welcome. And for everyone listening, thanks for tuning in again this week. If you know anyone who'd like to come on the show, or if you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. But other than that, we'll sign off and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everyone.